POA Wonder Hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners. So we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear from Brian Lynn, Dan Novak, and Dan Friedel. Later, Steve Ember will present our American history series, The Making of a Nation. But first, here is Brian Lynn.
Officials in the Chinese city of Wuhan have ordered mass testing for the coronavirus after cases of the Delta variant were discovered. The city also suspended airplane flights and train service and canceled professional basketball games to slow the spread. The first cases of the new coronavirus, which causes the disease COVID-19, were discovered in Wuhan in late 2019. China has largely controlled COVID-19 by ordering lockdowns and mass testing in areas hit by the virus. The measures mostly kept outbreaks from spreading. But the Delta variant is currently spreading in countries around the world. It has now been confirmed in more than 35 cities across 17 Chinese provinces and areas. While the total number of cases in China remains in the hundreds, the spread is far more widespread than anything China has dealt with before. Virus-related restrictions have been ordered in other areas as well. The cities of Nanjing and Yangzhou in eastern Jiangsu province also canceled flights. In Beijing, officials halted long-distance trains from 23 stations. And the Chinese Basketball Association suspended its games because of the pandemic. Wuhan is a city of 11 million people in central China. Officials there confirmed 3 cases of the Delta variant on Monday. They were the city's first non-imported cases reported in more than a year. Those cases were among 90 new ones confirmed nationwide on Sunday, the country's National Health Commission said Tuesday. Of those, 61 cases were locally spread and 29 were among people who had recently arrived from other countries. Most of the local cases are in Jiangsu province, where an outbreak started at the airport in Nanjing. The Nanjing outbreak has been linked to the Delta variant and is thought to be the source of cases in other places. 5 other provinces and the cities of Beijing and Shanghai have all reported fewer than 10 new local cases. A Nanjing official said Monday that even after the first cases were reported there, some stores did not carry out antivirus measures and some people did not follow face covering guidance. Jiangsu officials said the main cause of the Nanjing outbreak was laxity of the mind. The first infections in Nanjing were found on July 20th. Since then, the number of local cases in China reached 414 as of Monday, Reuters news agency reported. I'm Brian Lin.
Officials, educators, and parents agree that millions of students in the United States should return to in-person classes next month. However, they disagree on how children can safely go to schools as the Delta variant of the coronavirus spreads across the country. Dr. Rochelle Walensky is director of the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, or CDC. At a briefing on COVID-19 on July 27th, she told reporters children should return to full-time in-person learning in the fall with proper prevention strategy in place. Walensky recommended that all K-12 students, teachers, workers, and visitors wear a face covering or mask in schools. The recommendation is in effect for both unvaccinated and vaccinated people. She said that fully vaccinated Americans should also wear face coverings in public and indoors in communities with substantial and high transmission of COVID-19. The health agency director added, "We continue to strongly encourage everyone to get vaccinated." She noted that vaccination prevents severe illness and death and also helps reduce the spread of the virus. American Federation of Teachers President Randy Weingarten praised the agency's new guideline to wear masks in schools. She said in a statement, "It is a necessary precaution until children under 12 can receive a COVID-19 vaccination and more Americans 12 and older get vaccinated."
The new CDC guidelines, however, are only recommendations. It is up to states and local officials to follow them. The South Carolina Department of Education immediately wrote on Twitter that its public schools will not be adopting the CDC's recommendations for required mask use. The department said state law, passed on July 1st, banned mask requirements in public schools. In Florida, Governor Ron DeSantis signed an executive order on Friday blocking mask requirements in the state's public schools. He said parents had the right to decide if their children would wear face coverings. There will be no lockdowns. There will be no school closures. There will be no restrictions and no mandates in the state of Florida, DeSantis said. The CDC reported that more than 78% of U.S. counties are now considered to be areas with substantial and high transmission of COVID-19. That includes every single county in both Florida and South Carolina. Over the weekend, the state of Florida also saw record highs for both new cases of COVID-19 infection and hospitalization. The numbers are higher than those set a year ago before vaccines were available. In other states, Officials are pushing to get their students and workers vaccinated. Many have set up vaccination centers to give shots to members of the school community. And some are giving students rewards in exchange for shots. Chicago has the third biggest school system in the country, with 341,000 students. Officials said that by early July, 78% of school workers had received at least one dose of vaccine. In May and June, Chicago held vaccination events at 15 schools and gave out more than 1,500 shots to people in the community. The city also opened three vaccination centers in July to reach students and their families.
The states of New York and California have the country's two largest school systems in New York City and Los Angeles. Recently, state and city officials required all public workers, including teachers and school workers, to be vaccinated or tested for COVID-19 weekly. What we're seeing is a pandemic among those unvaccinated people, but it affects everyone, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo said. Mallory McGowan is the communications director for the Missouri Department of Elementary and Secondary Education. She said vaccines are the best preventative measure that we have in place, and we need families and educators to really consider getting that vaccine. Some states let young people decide for themselves whether to get vaccinated for COVID-19 and other diseases. In November, Washington, D.C. passed a law letting children 11 and older receive any vaccine approved by the CDC without their parents' permission. This summer, Washington, D.C. is operating COVID vaccination centers at middle and high schools. Some give out $51 gift cards to children over 12 for getting vaccinated. Misinformation about vaccine safety and effectiveness is a large reason why some Americans are not getting shots. The state of Tennessee has one of the lowest vaccination rates in the country. Lawmakers first stopped all vaccine outreach to children and young people. It began again in July, but state officials say it will be directed toward parents, not children. Teenagers and young children are at lower risk of getting severe COVID-19 infection and being hospitalized. However, the risk remains. They can also still spread the disease to school workers and family members. Talking with CBS Morning News, Walensky noted that children are dying from COVID-19 at twice the rate of the flu. It is really important to understand that while children are not getting sick nearly at the rate as adults are, they're getting sick more than they would during a standard flu season, and more deaths, indeed, she said. I'm Dan Novak.
And I'm Dan Friedel.
To help protect yourself against the new coronavirus, wash your hands for 20 seconds with soap and water before you eat, after using the toilet, and after touching anything many other people touch, like a seat on a public bus. If you cannot wash your hands with soap and water, use an alcohol-based hand sanitizer that contains at least 60% alcohol. Taking these steps can help prevent not only the new coronavirus disease, but also colds, flu, and other viruses. For more information, visit the following websites. The World Health Organization at www.who.int or the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention at www.cdc.gov.
From VOA Learning English, this is The Making of a Nation, American History in Special English. I'm Steve Ember. The United States became a nation in 1776. Less than a century later, in the 1860s, it was nearly torn apart. A civil war took place, the only one in the nation's history. States from the North and the South fought against each other. The conflict involved the right of the South to leave the Union and deal with issues, especially the issue of slavery, in its own way. We examine how the Constitution survived this very troubled time in American history. The Civil War was fought from 1861 to 1865. 600,000 men were killed or wounded. In the end, the slaves were freed, and the Union was saved. Abraham Lincoln was president during the Civil War. He said the Southern states did not have the right to leave the Union. Lincoln firmly believed that the Union was permanent under the Constitution. In fact, he noted that one of the reasons for establishing the Constitution was to form a more perfect Union. His main goal was to save what the Constitution had created. One cannot truly understand the United States without understanding its Constitution. The document describes America's system of government and guarantees the rights of its citizens. The power of the Constitution is greater than any president, court, or legislature. In the coming weeks, we will tell the story of the United States Constitution, including the drama of its birth in Philadelphia in 1787. Before we do, however, we want to look at how the document provides for change without changing the basic system of government. If you ask Americans about their Constitution, probably the first thing they will talk about is the Bill of Rights. These are the first 10 changes to the Constitution. These 10 amendments have the most direct effect on people's lives. The Bill of Rights guarantees freedom of speech, freedom of religion, and freedom of the press. In fact, all of those and more, including the right to peaceful assembly, are contained just in the First Amendment. The second one states a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. The Fourth Amendment protects against unreasonable searches and seizures. Other amendments say that people in criminal cases cannot be forced to make statements against themselves and have a right to a speedy and public trial by a jury. The Bill of Rights also deals with the separation of powers between the federal government and the states. In the words of the 10th Amendment, the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. In other words, powers belong to the states unless the Constitution gives them to the federal government or prevents the states from having them. The Bill of Rights was not part of the document signed at the convention in Philadelphia in 1787. The delegates believed that political freedoms were basic human rights. Some of the delegates thought it was unnecessary to express these rights in a constitution. Most Americans, however, wanted their rights guaranteed in writing. This is why most states approved the new constitution only on the condition that a Bill of Rights would be added. This was done, and the amendments became law in 1791. One early amendment involved the method of choosing a president and vice president. In America's first presidential elections, whoever received the most votes became president. The candidate who received the second highest number of votes became vice president. The Constitution was changed after separate political parties developed. Then ballots began to list the names of separate candidates for president and vice president. There were no other amendments for 60 years. The next one was born in the blood of the Civil War. During the war, President Lincoln announced the Emancipation Proclamation. That document freed the slaves in the states that were rebelling against the Union. Later, the 13th Amendment banned slavery everywhere in the country, but Lincoln never lived to see it. He was shot a week after the South surrendered. The 14th Amendment, approved in 1868, said no state could limit the rights of any citizen. And the 15th, approved 2 years later, said a person's right to vote could not be denied because of his race, color, or former condition of slavery. By the 1890s, the federal government needed more money than it was receiving from taxes on imports. It wanted to establish a tax on earnings. It took 20 years to win approval for the 16th Amendment. The amendment permits the government to collect income taxes. Another amendment proposed in the early 1900s was designed to change the method of electing United States senators. For more than 100 years, senators were elected by the legislatures of their states. The 17th Amendment, approved in 1913, gave the people the right to elect senators directly. In 1919, the states approved an amendment to ban the production, transportation, and sale of alcohol. Alcohol was prohibited. It could not be produced or sold legally anywhere in the United States. The amendment, however, did not stop the flow of alcohol. Criminal organizations found many ways to produce and sell it illegally. Finally, after 13 years, Americans decided that prohibition had failed. It caused more problems than it solved. So in 1933, the states approved another constitutional amendment to end the ban on alcohol. Other amendments in the 20th century include one that gives women the right to vote. It became part of the Constitution in 1920. Another amendment limits a president to 2 4-year terms in office. And the 26th Amendment gives the right to vote to all persons who are at least 18 years old. The 27th Amendment has one of the strangest stories of any amendment to the United States Constitution. This amendment establishes a rule for increasing the pay of senators and representatives. It says there must be an election between the time Congress votes to increase its pay and the time the pay raise goes into effect. The amendment was first proposed in 1789. Like all amendments, it needed to be approved by 3/4 of the states. This did not happen until 1992. So one of the first amendments to be proposed was the last amendment to become law. The 27 amendments added to the Constitution have not changed the basic system of government in the United States. The government still has 3 separate and equal parts: the executive branch, the legislative branch, and the judicial branch. The 3 parts balance each other. No part is greater than another. The first American states had no strong central government when they fought their War of Independence from Britain in 1776. They cooperated under an agreement called the Articles of Confederation. The agreement provided for a Congress, but the Congress had few powers. Each state governed itself. When the war ended, the states owed millions of dollars to their soldiers. They also owed money to European nations that had supported the Americans against Britain. The new United States had no national money to pay the debts. There was an American dollar, but not everyone used it. And it did not have the same value everywhere. The situation led to economic ruin for many people. They could not pay the money they owed. They lost their property. They were put in prison. Militant groups took action to help them. They interfered with tax collectors. They terrorized judges and burned court buildings. The situation was especially bad in the northeast part of the country. In Massachusetts, a group led by a former soldier tried to seize guns and ammunition from the state military force. Shay's Rebellion, as it was called, was stopped. But from the north to the south, Americans were increasingly worried and frightened. Would the violence continue? Would the situation get worse? Many Americans distrusted the idea of a strong central government. After all, they had just fought a war to end British rule. Yet Americans of different ages, education, and social groups felt that something had to be done. If not, the new nation would fail before it had a chance to succeed. These were the opinions and feelings that led, in time, to the writing of the United States Constitution.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world.
I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.